in Mark chapter 10, verse 1, and he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resorted unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept, but from the beginning of the creation of God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just take a little time to present some Bible principles that I hope, Lord, will strengthen the marriages, Lord, of our church. For some and for many, Lord, these will just be reminders of things, Lord, that we already know, and perhaps we might want to shore up a bit. Lord, it's good for us to go to the Scripture. It's good for us to see, Lord, in this confused society, in this upside-down culture, Lord, it's good for us just to go back to the beginning and the purity of the principles and precepts of the Word of God. Now, Lord, I pray for the marriages, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that you'd build a hedge of protection about them. I know Satan would like to destroy every marriage. And Lord, help us to just be obedient to the Scriptures. And as we talk to the men, mostly tonight, I pray, Lord, that in this area we would provide the leadership that we ought. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Like I said before, I mentioned these in passing, in one of the messages several weeks ago. And I've had several people stop me since then and said, Preacher, you mentioned about the 12 responsibilities. If sometime you'd cover that, that would be good for me to hear. And so I'm going to do that. I want to spend a few weeks covering these things. Folks, we can't ignore our homes, and we can't ignore our families. And we certainly, as married people, need to be diligent about making sure that we maintain scripturally our marriages. How many of you believe this, that the devil's targeted the family? Would you agree with that? I think the devil's figured it out. That's the foundational unit. It seems like if we have strong families, we tend to have a strong church and a strong nation. And so Satan's gone right for the most minute building block that seems to hold the whole thing together, and he just attacks the family. When we and you bus workers know it, it's just amazing what you run into. And it's not that people want this. It's not that people ever dreamed of this, but it's amazing. Just really within a few years, it's amazing how many people by the age of 22, 25, 27, what a mess they've made, or what the mess the devil's helped them make out of their lives. And so I'm glad the teenagers are in here, and this will help you. Oh, this is just a sermon for husbands. Well, if you're going to be a future husband, set up and listen, okay? This is just for the husband. So as a wife, I don't need to listen to this. That's right. You can sleep. You can do whatever, knit. If you brought a crossword puzzle, go ahead and work that or whatever you've got to do. But in a couple weeks, make sure you're here, amen? And the one thing I will say this, it's a shame that I can usually get the wives to pay more attention to the husband's responsibilities and the husbands to pay more attention to the wives' responsibilities than we can to pay attention to what is ours. But I guess we're kind of human in that way. But I found out this, it's not my job to do what my wife's been assigned, and it's not her job to do what I've been assigned. If each and every one of us would take our biblical responsibilities and live them out, it's amazing what God would do. I pray that you'd open your heart to this. The culture's sure selling us a bill of goods. And the result of the fact that these principles aren't taught, and even in Christian homes a lot of times aren't lived out, it's taken a toll on our culture. There's a messed up situation going on. And I'll be honest with you, I'm beginning to sound like an old preacher. I don't feel like an old preacher. I looked in the other mirror the other day, and I'm starting to look like an old preacher. In fact, I got on the website. If you get on Derek and Rebecca's blog, they posted pictures of their Charter Sunday. I just looked at it, And they had a picture of me and said, Pastor Jerry Ross preached tonight. I thought, it looks like an old guy. It looks like an old man is preaching there. I don't know. What do you do? But I'm beginning to sound like an old man, too, in this idea of, and I try not to do this, because we've got so many good quality young people coming up, young couples coming up that get it. But I guess every generation diminishes. I mean, as a whole, the culture's not getting better. And I guess I hate to see what Satan's been able to do. And so let's just take the scriptures and let them speak to us tonight, all right? Let's talk about men, our responsibilities towards our wife. As a husband, you have some responsibilities. Gentlemen, we're to be the leaders, so let's lead in this. I will say this. I'm not saying 100% of the time, but most of the time. Every once in a while, you get, you know, what I call a psycho chick. No matter what the man does, the... Sorry, it's just my terminology, but no matter what the man does, and no matter, you know, every once in a while you get somebody, no matter what anybody does, male or female, they're going to do their own thing. But for the most part, I will say this. Men, I believe that women are created by God. They have a follower spirit. They're more reactionary. And I believe that if we take the lead in what we're supposed to do, most of the time it fixes most of the problems in a marriage. So men, lead in this matter. Jesus said this in verse number 7 that we just read, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Boy, a miraculous relationship. They shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Now here's the verse, verse 9. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, let me give you this responsibility. One of the things that I find that women deal with, wives deal with sometimes, that we need to help them with is this, gentlemen. A husband is to give his wife security. Security. By often reminding her and showing her that he is married to her for life. For life. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. The twain shall be one flesh. Now, men, there's a lot of ways that we can do this. Sometimes we just need to verbalize it. You need to say this to your wife from time to time. You need to say, honey, let me just say this. I'd marry you again if I had to do it all over again. There's no other woman on the planet that I'm interested in that catches my eye and my attention. I feel like I say this often, I feel like I hit the wife lottery. And I want you to know, as long as you can put up with me, there's no way you're getting rid of me. And I'm looking forward to growing old together. Now, folks, that may not seem like a big deal, but I'm telling you, you need to say things like that often to your wife. But you can't just tell her it and then show her something different. If she's the queen of your life, then she ought to be the queen of your life. And you know what? She ought not to have to put up with your wandering eyes or your flirting around with other women. Because even if you verbalize that you're committed to her for life, but your actions and your eyes tell her otherwise, then you know what? She's going to have insecurities. And so as a husband, give your wife security. By both your actions, your attitude, by your words, remind her that you are married to her and her only for life, and that, you know what, you're glad of that. Let me give you the second one. Let me have you turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 22. I'm just going to present these to you, and we won't go into them real deep. We'll see how far we get tonight. But Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 22, I love this verse. Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So number one, a husband is to give his wife security by often reminding her that he is married to her for life. Number two, a husband should remind himself often how blessed he is to have a wife and how God's favor is extended to him for her sake. Did you get that? Whoso findeth a wife findeth a what? Good thing. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. And if you are patient, young man, if you're not married yet, you're patient, and you wait for the perfect will of God, and you find the wife that God has created for you, and when he brings her to you in his time, and you marry that young lady, let me tell you something, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. When you find the one God has for you, what a wonderful thing. And I want you to exercise patience, both young ladies and young men. Don't get in a hurry. Well, preacher, I'm a little older now, and it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, the devil's going to work double time on you if you're not careful and get you figuring that, you know, well, you've got to do something to make something happen. Just don't do that. Be patient. The Lord has it all planned, and he's got it all under control. But those of us that are married, you ought to, as men, we ought to remind ourselves often, we're blessed to have a wife. We are blessed to have a wife. I know you're going to have good days, bad days. I know there's not, I don't believe any relationships without bumps in the road. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Go sit down with some widow lady. Go sit down with a man who no longer has his wife. And I'd be better off without her. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You absolutely wouldn't. And don't take her for granted. I like this little last statement in this verse. It says, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, you've heard me say this, most of you, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to tell you, before I was married, I would pray, and it's not that God would never answer my prayers. He did answer my prayers many times. But I have found out from the day I got married on that God has extended more favor to me than before when I was married. I kind of figured out this way. I think this is how it happens. I go to the Lord and pray for something, and he kind of looks down at me and says, Jerry Ross, you're a mess. And if you were by yourself, you rascal, I probably wouldn't answer this prayer, but you married such a good woman, I'm going to give you what you're asking for. Because that's what the Bible's saying here. It says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. And when you do the right thing the right way, and you marry the person God has for you, God comes alongside you, men, and helps you to fulfill the vows and helps you to take care of the one that you've committed to take care of. And so don't forget that. If you found a wife, you found a good thing. And God extends favor to you. And so be reminded, that's not because of who you are, but because of the fact that you married her. And so don't forget that, okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to have you move around in your Bible some. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we'll see how we get through these. Man, I might surprise myself and cover all 12. Of course, we'll take 6 weeks on the women's responsibility as we go into every minute detail of what the Scripture has to say. Amen. Okay, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And again, I'll be careful because I know we're in mixed company. But 1 Corinthians 7, 2. Let me say this. Let me read the verse. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power on his own body, but the wife. Let me say this. A husband is to give due benevolence, to not defraud his wife. A husband needs to maintain a healthy, active, intimate relationship with his wife, one that is enjoyable and satisfying to both. This protects both against fornication. And let me encourage you to fall in love again and again and again with the woman you married. And men and women, listen to me. You need to obey what the Bible says here. You need to obey it. And it strengthens your marriage. It allows the two to maintain that feeling of oneness. But one of the side effects of that is that it also protects both from temptation. And folks, listen to me. I know I'm being careful again here. But I can't tell you how many times a marriage breaks up simply because one or both parties decided that that was an important part of the marriage. And the next thing you know, somebody is being selfish. And that causes increased temptation. By the way, whether it causes increased temptation or not, you shouldn't give in to temptation. I'm not giving anybody an excuse here. But you know what? Can I say this, ma'am? Can I say this, sir? You're foolish if you put your spouse in that situation. You're foolish. And I had to laugh. I think I've said this before, but I said, it's crazy. I've been a youth pastor and worked with teenagers, and you spend all those years telling them, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then you've got to take the young couples to a couples retreat and tell them, do it, do it, do it. It's insane. You know, it's like whatever we can have, we don't want to have. Whatever we can't have, we want. Why don't you enjoy who you have? Why don't you desire each other? Why don't you go out of your way to please each other? I won't read them out loud, but you ought to read Proverbs chapter number 5 and verses 18 through 21. If we were at a couple's retreat, I'd read these and make some more comments, but some of you ought to do a little study on this. No, you're not a super spiritual person just because of the fact you read your Bible and pray, and because you're super spiritual when you take care of your wife, you take care of your husband. And so let me just give you that brief reminder. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If a man would take these 12 things that I'm presenting, and maybe we'll do this, maybe I can give you something laminated that you could put in your devotional Bible. I really mean this. If a man would just, from time to time, look at these 12 things and say, am I fulfilling the responsibilities that I should towards my wife? It'll keep your marriage strong. Ephesians chapter 5, of course, we know that this deals with the husband-wife family relationships. But verse number 22 and 23, let's read that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So husbands, we're the head of our wives. Number 4, a husband is to provide leadership in the relationship. Now watch this. Providing his wife with a spiritual example and providing the home a spiritual direction. And so it's not just a matter of you're the leader. It's a matter of where are you going to lead according to the Word of God. And the husband is to provide leadership in the relationship. You need to provide your wife with a spiritual example. You need to provide your home with a definite spiritual direction. So men, step up and be that spiritual leader. Listen to me and let me say this. Sometimes I'll get a man that will come to me sometimes and say, you know, me and my wife, the time we got married, we were both saved, but she'd been saved almost all her life, and I hadn't been. I got saved late in life, and she knows more about the Bible, and she's a better Christian, and so what I'm thinking is, no, stop thinking and just start obeying. What you need to do is provide spiritual leadership. It's fine. She may be more versed. She may know more scripture. She may be farther down the path, but God's put the leadership in your hands, and you need to provide spiritual leadership in your home. And if I was you, what I would do is I'd get busy reading the Bible. I'd get busy studying. When your wife comes to you with spiritual questions, say, you know what, I want to take some time to pray about that. And so, could we talk about that? I want to pray about it. And then as soon as you get in the car, you get your cell phone out, and you call Pastor Robert Ross. And you say, Brother Ross, help! My wife asked me a question. I don't know the answer to it. And then you take all the notes you can take, and then when you walk back in, say, honey, I've prayed about this. And in a very unusual way, God has brought me the answers to your question. But you provide the leadership. And if you do that and you put yourself on the spot and you step up, doesn't mean you always have all the answers. Doesn't mean you always know everything to do. But you provide leadership. You know, I thought about this week, and wouldn't you agree with this? Well, I wonder what America could, kind of America we could have if we just decided every man got up on next Sunday morning and just got the kids out of bed and got the wife out of bed and say, you know what, it's been long overdue. Let's just get dressed up best we can, put a little shine on our shoes, see if we can find a Bible or two or not. When we get there, we'll ask the preacher for one, but let's get in church. Let's get in church. And I don't hold the wives guilty for that not happening. I don't hold the children guilty. Thank God we've got bus kids that get up and they get ready sometimes on their own. They don't have a mom or dad that wants to provide 1 ounce of spiritual leadership in their lives. I feel sorry for those kids. I mean it. My heart breaks for them. I thank God my mom and dad got saved when I was 5. I have no memory of having lost parents. I don't. All I remember growing up is that we were in church. All I remember growing up is that dad, You know, there was never a question. You know, we didn't get up on Sunday mornings and discuss whether or not we were going to church. It was Sunday, and we just went to church. We didn't discuss on Sunday night. Well, what do you feel like? Anybody? Let's take a vote. There was no voting at the house. Brother Castle mentioned today that some of us kids were drugged as kids, and I was drugged. I was drugged to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But it was just a way of life. And thank God for that. Thank God for a dad that said, you know what, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so provide spiritual leadership. It doesn't mean you have to be super Christian to do that. You don't have to have all the answers. But you know what, as far as your family unit, you can provide the spiritual leadership for them and provide the best example that you can. And the best example, let me help you with this, the best example doesn't mean you always get everything right. The best example sometimes is just a father that says, hey, kids, wife, let me just be honest with you and transparent with you. I'm learning too. And you know what? We're going to grow in the Lord together. It doesn't mean I'll always get everything right, but let's just go and set and learn as we go. And let's just give our family and our lives wholly to the Lord. And a man that'll just provide that steadfast, consistent leadership in his house, I'll tell you, he'll have a wife that appreciates that. He'll have children that appreciate that. And so a husband is to provide that leadership, especially in the spiritual realm, a spiritual example so the wife and children can look up, a spiritual direction, a definite plan, a definite direction. We're going to go the way of the Lord. Now, we're in this section of Scripture, so let's read down in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Number five, a husband is to love his wife, to love her enough to die for her if necessary. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Well, how much did Christ love the church? He gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. So we are to love our wives in that same regard. Now, if you take a Christ view of this, even as Christ also loved the church, Christ was not selfish in his love. It wasn't a self-serving love. It was a love that gave. It was a love that sacrificed. It was a love that left heaven. It was a love that was willing to be born in a manger. It was a love that took upon flesh. It was a love that put up with a lot of things while he was here on earth, yet without sin. It was a love that took him to Pilate's hall and the Roman soldiers and their torture and their mockery, and all of those things. It was a love that allowed men to drive nails in his hands and his feet. It was a love that said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it was a love that was willing to die to redeem. And the most important thing, probably, of all I'm going to say is this point. God could have said, husbands, do a lot of things for your wives, but he said the best thing that you can do is just love her. And so, men, love your wives. Love your wives. Let her know that you love her. Remind her often that you love her. Say that you love her. And I don't know of a better thing that you can do for your wife. Most women that know that they're loved by their husbands just are very happy people. They don't have to have a whole lot, but they know that they're loved. They're usually very happy people. Okay? Let's go to the 31st verse of this same chapter. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. A husband is to place his wife and their relationship as the most important of all human relationships. Let me say it again. A husband is to place his wife and their relationship as the most important of all human relationships. The leave and cleave principle. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. The two shall be one flesh. A wife is loved only second to God. Amen. Only second to God. Wives, look up here. You should be second to God, right? Is there any wives that want your husband to put you ahead of God? Okay, then don't go there. Don't insist that your husband make an idol out of you. Because as much as I love my wife, it would be a sin against her and a sin against my God if I love my wife more than I love my God. That means ultimately God has to be first. And I know this sounds crazy, but we have an awful selfish culture. And I've seen wives get mad because their husband loved God and put God first in some areas of their life. And there's almost a jealousy about them serving the Lord or spending time serving God. Are you wanting to be an idol? Okay, nobody comes before God. Nobody. I mean, Jesus was very specific about this. He said, hey, if you love mother, father, husband, wife, children more than me, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And so ultimately, men, you have to love God and put God supremely first in your life. But let me say this. Number two on the list is not your children. It's not your hunting buddies. It's not a cousin. It's not mommy. It's not daddy. It's your wife. Say, who's third on your list? Just go ahead and put your wife third. Who's fourth? Put your wife fourth. Who's fifth? Put your wife fifth. About tenth, you can start putting other people. But that's the importance of this. Listen, there is no other human relationship where two people become one flesh. No other human relationship. I love my kids, but they'll tell you this. All the time we were raising them, from time to time I'd say, girls, you know what, I love you to death, but you know mom's number one. Amen. Mom's number one. Amen. Yeah, mom's, I'm sorry. I know you girls. I know what you're going to do to me. You're going to eat my food. You're going to con me out of buying you all kinds of stuff. You're going to take my money. You're going to have me repaint your room 14 times. You're going to want to change bedspreads and sheets and all this stuff. And then, you know what you're going to do? All of a sudden, one of these days, you're going to see some toe-headed guy. You're going to blink about three times, forget your dad's name, and run off and get married somewhere. I know what you're going to do to me. So you guys are temporary. You're a temporary deal here, you know. But me and mom, I mean, we're forever. We're till death do us part. I mean, after y'all are gone and involved in your own family and we're just somebody you remember to stop by and see her once in a while or pick the phone up, we're going to be with each other. So she's number one. And you let that be known. Your wife and that relationship, there's no other relationship on this planet that's more important than the relationship of a husband and wife. No human relationship. Now, men, if that's true, then shouldn't we prove that out by being careful with what we schedule and the time that we take and the time we set aside to spend time with our wives and to be with them? We should treat them like that's the most important one. And I know life's busy, and I know there's a lot of different relationships in life that are precious. And I know that a lot of times it's hard to juggle everything and keep everybody happy. But I'll tell you this, I'm more worried about her being happy than y'all. Sorry. I love you as a church member, but you're not near as important to me as my wife. Yeah, crazy things happen in the ministry. And can I just give you a little peek in the window for a minute? You know, somebody, here's what we'll do as a pastor if we're not careful, and I want you to take this same principle, put it in your life. But you know what? We'll have a schedule with another a church member. We'll have an appointment with another church member, and another church member will call and say, hey, I need to meet you at a certain time. We'll look and say, I'm sorry, I got an appointment with this other church member. And they'll say, okay, I understand it. When can you see me? But if we're not careful, we've planned something with our wife, and some church member calls and said, hey, I need to see you. And we say, think to ourselves, well, me and my wife are supposed to go do this. And we'll say, well, yeah, I don't have anything going. I guess I could meet with you. Yeah, you do. You got an appointment with your wife. Right, now, why would you not cancel an appointment with another church member, but you would cancel an appointment with your wife? So I always put it this way to make them all feel better. I've got an appointment with another church member at that time. My wife's a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But it's crazy. Even if you tell the church member, I'm sorry, I've already got something me and my wife are going to do at that time, they're kind of like, excuse me? Excuse me? Hello? And it's almost like somehow we got that trained into us. Somehow, you know, we're not a good preacher. If we, no, you're not a better preacher for not putting your family and your wife first. You're not a better preacher for following that mode. Now, I've often told people this. My wife's a veteran pastor's wife. She's not new at this. She's a veteran pastor's wife. She understands that sacrifice comes with a package. She understands that one phone call can turn our lives and our plans upside down. But over, forgive me for saying this, minor things, non-life and death things, I'm not going to change my life and turn my world upside down to come rushing over and sit with you and your little problem and cancel something me and my wife was planning to do. You know why? Because my marriage and the strength of my marriage is probably more important to you as a church member than you can even realize. And let me say this, gentlemen. I would feel the same way. I would want you to feel the same way about a call that you get from me. I mean that. Don't look at your wife and say, oh, the preacher called and he wanted me to do this, and so I had to tell him I'd do it. If you got something planned with your wife, you tell me. Say, preacher, I got something planned with my wife. Is there some other time we can do this? I'll say, well, absolutely, of course. She's number one for you. You get that? So I'll respect that in your life. You respect that in my life. And let's all stay happily married, all right? Amen. Or you ain't going to be calling me wanting anything. So I told one person one time, I said, I'm spending so much time counseling you and your wife and giving you so much marriage counseling, I'm going to need marriage counseling for missing the evenings that I'm not home with my wife trying to save your marriage, you know. So, you know, at some point, you know, we got to keep things in perspective here. Does that make sense to you? Does that sound fair to you? But a husband's to place his wife in their relationship as the most important of all human relationships. Two people becoming one. What a miracle. What a miracle that is. We got 10 minutes. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's read verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. The first six verses outline some good advice to wives. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. I love this verse. I would ask you to mark it in your Bible. You ought to consider it, gentlemen, very, very often. This is direct instruction to the husband. So every part of this is very important. Notice what it says here. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, I think this is so important. If I could give a young husband some good advice, I would say this. You study your wife. You learn your wife. The Bible says we are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. That means we know them. And your wife is uniquely her. She's uniquely different from any other person on the planet. Sometimes I get, and I fall into this trap some, so forgive me if I do. And there are some things that across the board are true of women, across the board are true of men. But sometimes we just bunch all women together. You know, all women are this, all women do this, all women. Well, I don't know about you, and you'd know your wife, but I know mine. And I know in a lot of things where it's very typical for women to be a certain way, my wife is not that. And some things that might bother most women might not bother her, and some things that might not bother most women might bother her. You know what? I'm not trying to learn all women. Thank God. Can you imagine? You know how much work it is to try to figure one of them out? That's why I believe that God says one woman for life, because it's going to take you a lifetime to figure her out, man. Now, dwell with them according to knowledge. That means that I need to make a study. As a young husband, I need to make a study and continue to learn my wife all through our marriage. I want to know her, and I do. I'm not done learning, because every once in a while she still throws me a curveball that I just didn't see coming. But that's fun. I'm glad that, because men like a challenge, so... If I thought I had her all figured out, I'd be ready to trade her in. And so I'm never going to figure her out. But honestly, my job is to learn her. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, gentlemen, the word there is knowledge. The word there is not dwell with them according to understanding. Can I get an amen there? The Bible doesn't say you have to understand her. Thank God. You know why? Because it's impossible. There's some things you will never understand about your wife, just like there's some things she'll never understand about you. Like I always give the illustration of every October, a couple things happen almost simultaneously. Covered Bridge Festival opens and deer season starts. I do not understand why my wife would want to get up early, get in a car, drive all the way north of Brazil, try to find some parking place in a muddy field somewhere, and walk past 3 million booths, and all of them have the same seven things. That makes no sense. I honestly tried to understand it. I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it. I just know that she likes to go, and so I make sure I give her the money so she can go, and make sure that. And you'll be proud of me. I used to never go, and we didn't go this year because we were out of town. But the last couple years, I've even gone with her. I don't know where you nominate husband of the year, but somebody needs to get my name in on that. And you know why? Because she likes it. And I know she likes it, and I don't have to understand why she likes it. I just need to find out what makes her happy and see to it that she has the opportunity to do those things. And she doesn't understand. She cannot comprehend. Like I went hunting the other morning. My alarm went off at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to get up, I'm going to put on a bunch of clothes, and I'm going to go out in the woods before it's light out, and I'm going to walk through the darkness about a mile back into the woods, and I'm going to climb up a tree using little metal steps and stand on a little platform, a metal platform about the size of the top of this pulpit, and I'll be there an hour before I can see to shoot, and I'll freeze for about an hour, and then the sun will come up, and the wind will start blowing, and then you get colder. It seems weird, but you get colder after the sun first comes up than when you are in the dark, and I really don't understand that, but maybe it's just because I've been there an hour, and it's sunk all the way to my heart. I don't know. And I'll sit there, and I can sit there for 2 or 3 hours and not even see a deer and have the time of my life. Now, my wife does not understand that at all. And she doesn't dwell with me according to understanding. She dwells with me according to knowledge. Now, here's the thing. You know, here's what you want to do. Is you learn them, then you want to change them. You know, because you don't understand it, you want them to stop it. Well, I just don't understand why that's a big deal to you. I just wish you'd stop it. You don't have to understand. You just have to know. Well, I don't know why that bothers her. Does it bother her? Well, yes. Okay, then you know what you need to know. Don't say that. Don't do that. Well, she shouldn't be. The Bible doesn't say that. It says learn her. Study her. Figure her out. Some things that are going to upset somebody that may not upset somebody else. Please never say this. Well, my mother. Don't go there, all right? Mom, Bible doesn't say to learn your mother. It says learn your wife. And all you got to do is just figure each other out. Now, I'm just giving you something that we've had some fun with, but I promise you, listen, young couples, listen to me. Most of the stuff you're fighting over, you just need to hush your mouth about. Some of you are so worried about changing her to be you. If you wanted you, you should have married a guy. It's amazing. You were attracted to her because of all the differences, and as soon as you get married, you want to change all the differences. That's crazy. Enjoy the differences. That's what makes life interesting. That's what makes life fun. You know? And it's great. It's great when you just kind of stop battling each other over every little thing. Stop trying to change a person. Learn them. Understand them. Now, by the way, wives, that doesn't mean there's some things that you shouldn't change. Husbands, it doesn't mean there's some things we shouldn't change. We all ought to be growing. But we spend so much time trying to change each other instead of spending time studying each other. I don't have to understand all of the reasons. And by the way, some of you are never going to know. Your wife may never share some of the things. Some of you have not made a study of her upbringing. You have not made a study of her family. You just don't think. You just want her to be like that, everything you want and everything you need because you're about you. But a lot of times people are a certain way because of things that have happened in their life. And it's not like they've chosen that. That is a part of who they are. And instead of making them feel bad about it all the time, love them and protect them in that area. As a husband, you should be protecting them in those sensitive areas, not pushing those buttons. Okay? And so make a study of your wife. Learn your wife. And I think we'll stop there and we'll begin there next week. Lord willing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to dwell together according to knowledge, Lord. I love this verse. I love where it says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. What a statement. As being heirs together of the grace of life. Lord, may we just learn, Lord, as husbands to be all that we should be according to the Scripture. May we learn our responsibilities and fulfill them. Lord, as men of character, as men of duty, help us to love our wives, to want to do these things. We pray in Jesus' name.